Thank you. Good morning to everybody. Let me acknowledge the co-authors of this work, Claudio Stockton and Dave Haggins. We did this really together, Claudio and I, developing how to do the method, and Dave introduced maize as a different crop, and the discussion how it should work to embrace this, you know, wheat, maize, barley, different crops. Let's move on to it. We'll go through first a little bit on the relevance of nitrogen partitioning. I know it's an obvious matter, but go through it. Then the objective of this presentation, some problem definition. Very briefly review some methods to allocate nitrogen currently used between grain and non-grain tissue, basically straw and grain. A description of the model, parameterization, testing, and some conclusions. Well, nitrogen is very relevant for multiple reasons, really. One, it is one of the controllers of the agroecosystem's productivity, has importance in environmental quality issues, is linked to the carbon-phosphorus cycling very closely. It's a determinant of grain quality in some cases, because, you know, hard red wheat, soft white wheat, barley for beer or for feed. It controls, when considered together with carbon in the straw, the rate of the composition of residues. In that regard, it will be connected to how much nitrogen is immobilized. It will be connected to nitrogen leaching. So it has really multiple roles. It's very important to have that under control in simulation modeling. So the objective was, that we have was to developing scientifically sound, I hope Terry Howell is not here, so I use the word sound and he didn't like it. So a scientific sound method to allocate nitrogen in the grain at harvest based on two things: the above ground nitrogen concentration in the above ground biomass at harvest and the grain crop harvest index. And we will see why this logic really soon. And the rationale for this is that some cropping systems, at least two that I know and use, EPIC and Crop Seed, report at harvest index of the crop and the total above ground nitrogen and the biomass. So we have those two elements in the models already, and let's see if we can use those two to allocate the nitrogen. It's not a daily time step model. Let's make that clear. It's a model that will get to harvest and they say, okay, this nitrogen will go to the grain, this much will go to the straw. The current methods to allocate nitrogen to the grain, the most commonly used are the demand supply based method, and they basically define that there is a demand for nitrogen in the grain. As the grain grows, there is a demand on some time step, and there is a supply that is given by the nitrogen uptake, nitrogen that is in other tissue that can be translocated and removed and get into the grain. And on the other hand, independent of it, there is carbon accumulation, and they accumulate, and well, the relationship between the two sort of happens. Other approaches, a little bit different, are those used at some point by Pete Jameson with the Sirius model, in which they follow a nitrogen harvest index approach, but that nitrogen harvest index that progresses during the growing season. And other approaches are using empirical relationships between above ground biomass and grain nitrogen concentration, like is currently used in EPIC. So here is a typical grain growth curve, and you can see nitrogen will accumulate more or less following the path of the total biomass, but the grain nitrogen concentration usually follows a U-shape. You know, it gets lower when the grain growth is maximum because there is a dilution effect of the starch synthesis, and during senescence it goes up. And then the nitrogen harvest index approach follows more or less a linear approach like this. So let's define the problem first. Let's go through some simple stuff. The total above ground nitrogen at harvest in mass is the sum of what is in the grain and what is in the straw. We can express it like this. I remove the total and use a T to express concentration now. So NT, NG, NS are concentrations in the total above ground biomass, the grain, and the straw. And this is the biomass, the total biomass. This is the grain biomass or yield, and this is the straw biomass. So these two functions are exactly the same. And we can express this in concentration quantity, but just by dividing by the biomass. And we get this expression where the total above ground biomass is a weighted sum of the nitrogen grain concentration and straw, and the weighting factor is the harvest index. So there are the two terms, the above ground nitrogen concentration and the harvest index. Now, this very simple elemental equation has two unknowns in our case. We want to partition this between grain and straw. So we need either a second equation, which is not there, or another or a method to do this. And in this case, there is no first law of thermodynamics or physics, whatever, that we can hang on and derive this analytically. So we have to go the empirical way. Well, these are the definition of the terms. I already went through it. So the method has basically five relatively simple assumptions. There is a minimum grain and straw nitrogen concentration that must be satisfied. So for that biomass to be there, there is a minimum. That's a very common approach. Similarly, there is an upper bound. There is a concentration that cannot be exceeded. And you can see this way, if this is concentration, there will be a minimum value. And it simply, there is no biomass below that value. And there is a maximum. And the grain nitrogen concentration falls someplace in between. The same happens with straw. And we call this difference between the minimum and the maximum, which is fixed, if these parameters are fixed, the demand in the grain. And that is always in terms of concentration. There is no problem in working with it. It's like an intensive property as opposed to extensive property, which is the mass. Other assumptions are that at harvest, all nitrogen that is above the minimum concentration, so whatever nitrogen is above the minimum, either in the grain or in the straw, because we don't know where it is, can be translocated. It can be allocated either to the grain or the straw, if there is room for it. And the fifth assumption, which will be better expressed later in the formulation, is that all this Na or translocatable nitrogen, how much is translocated depends on the relative demand of the straw and the grain. How much is the deficit in the two? The relative demand of the straw and the grain depends on the harvest index, depends on how much of the biomass is straw and how much of the biomass is grain. And believe me, it's a tricky issue to solve. So here is the formulation, to which I will go really quickly because I don't expect people to follow some details, but it's very simple to follow up on paper. First, the grain nitrogen concentration is, we can express it as the minimum that it has to be there, plus a fraction which is the translocatable nitrogen that is there, a fraction of that translocatable nitrogen that is there divided by the harvest index. This can be much more explicitly expressed. I just canceled a lot of terms to go through it very quickly. This is an expression for Na, how it is computed, and with data that is there, there is no assumption in this case. And then there is Pg, this partitioning factor. Here it is how Pg is computed, and again, there is a good explanation on the shape of this equation. And here we go to R, which is an exponential here, which has a second exponential that is C. And now that we get here, there are five parameters in this model. Five parameters. Four can be extracted from experiments or from the literature, and they are already there. There is nothing to do. They are there. The fifth, which is the C term, is a calibration parameter. And that is where the empiricism is in this model. So this empirical constant actually modulates the priority of the grains or the straw as a sink for that Na, that nitrogen that can be moved. So what comes next? Here are some of the estimated and calibrated parameters, and I'm jumping over the conclusion almost by getting here, but let's see if we agree on this. For wheat, barley, corn, and sorghum, for example, what will you say is the maximum grain nitrogen concentration? Somewhere between 3.5 and 4%. There are no concentrations above that value. So for wheat, after reviewing many, many, many data, I choose a 4%. For barley, 3.5%. There is some logic to it. Barley has the Lehmann de Palia, attached to the grain, so it has a little bit more dilution of the nitrogen. For corn, about 3%, sorghum 3%. These are the minimum concentrations, and these are the concentrations in the straw. Typically, for wheat, we will see values of 2% of nitrogen in the grain, maybe 2.5, maybe 1.8, and 0.5, 0.6 in the straw. So these are very reasonable values. These are calibrated values for C, and what we can see is that they are in the wheat stands out at having, what this C means is that it tends to allocate nitrogen to the grain more so than these three crops. We'll see some data now. This is the calibrated value. So we took for wheat, which is this this plot here, about how many, 336 values for grain nitrogen concentration. We have the harvest index, we have the above ground nitrogen concentration, and calibrated that parameter C. And here is how the calibration looks like, and the value for C, I don't know if this reported there, but was 0.8 or so. The same work for barley. You see that the range that we cover on harvest index is from 0.3 to 0.56. We are really gathering most of the range, and the grain nitrogen concentrations go from, excuse me, the above ground nitrogen concentrations go from 0.8% to 1.7. That's really a wide range for concentrations. And the calibrations look good. For there is less data for maize and less data for sorghum. It was very difficult to get good data on this, unbelievably, for these two crops. And this is model testing. When we apply this model, and when we say we apply this model, is go to the literature or to your own data, and without looking at the grain nitrogen concentration, take the harvest index from that data and take the above ground nitrogen concentration, the same thing that the model gives, and tell, you know, plug it in the formula and see what's the nitrogen concentration that it will estimate. And this is the estimated, and here's the observed. This is data from Fisher, those experiments published in 1993, irrigated wheat in I don't remember exactly where, but near Canberra for sure. And it does pretty well, except for one point. There's another data on dry land in Australia by McDonald, 1992. I think this is the best that I will ever get in my professional life in terms of a fitting. This is data from Ardell Harborson for winter wheat in Colorado. There are many years there, and regardless of the general trend, within each year there were different nitrogen treatments, and the trend depicted by the model was always consistent. If nitrogen concentration increased, the model would predict so. This is wheat from Western Casman in California. This is our own data, Dave Huggins' data in the Pacific Northwest. And this is some data from Finland, I think, or Sweden, Scandinavian, in which the model departed a little bit, and it might be that the model is just flat wrong, or can be the case that they have diseases in these experiments, and that there might be a departure on the partitioning, you know, due to diseases. They do affect nitrogen partitioning in the grain. In general, plants that are diseased, that wheat plants that have septoria or rust will have less nitrogen concentration. 1 minute, okay. This one more model testing for wheat. I thought that graph in wheat will be the best, and then I found this data from Anthony Van Herwarden, put it there. It works incredibly well. And look at the range too, 1.5% to 3.5%. This is for some data in Wageningen. Then for barley, maize, and sorghum, also that's a decent job. And here is some theoretical considerations to show, just by varying in the model, the above ground nitrogen concentration expected and the grain nitrogen concentration, what will be the expected grain nitrogen concentration with varying harvest index. One thing that I want to point out here is that, say, at harvest index of 0.45 for wheat or for maize, and the same above ground nitrogen concentration, wheat will have a higher, these two lines, grain concentration. So wheat tends to partition the nitrogen to the grain more so than maize, and there is a physiological reason for it. I don't know what it is. Maybe the fact that one is C3, the other C4, and the proteins in the leaf reflect that. Who knows? That is something to study. We have less than 1 minute, so I will jump to the conclusions. The partitioning scheme proposed is simple and is robust, and it's really easy to parameterize. As a byproduct of it, the method could be used to explore genotypic differences in nitrogen partitioning. Basically, all genotypes that I tried work the same for one species. It's like, you know, they are all the same. The difference is in how much nitrogen the nut take on what's the harvest index, but not any intrinsic difference in partitioning. If there is such an intrinsic difference in partitioning, it should reflect in a departure from the model. So it can be perfectly used, and I'm trying to interest some people that has with genotypes with varying nitrogen concentration to do that. And the second thing is that mechanistic models, daily time state of partition, nitrogen and carbon, If they work all right, they should reproduce this method at the end. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey. Is Julie Earls here? If not, we have some extra time, so let's take a question or two for Armand now.
All right.
Have any questions? Here's one.
Do you think that this kind of approach could be used for other easily transportated minerals?
Maybe. I haven't tried. I don't see a reason to. This, when we developed this, I had this problem of nitrogen partitioning in the grain for in my head for many years, but I haven't thought of other components. You know, I know there is some relationship with phosphorus partitioning. It doesn't go on its own. You know, it follows nitrogen pretty much, but who knows?
Another question.
There's some critical inputs in here which has to do with the harvest index being correct and the concentrations in the residue be correct at the end. So you've shown good predictions where you have good inputs.
Right.
What happens if you're going out without those?
It will be wrong, but that's not the model's fault. That's because the model is simulating wrong uptake.
How the model predicts that harvest
right.
index.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
I have a question, just for my own interest. How much does fertilization level affect straw nitrogen content for these grain crops?
It does affect it, and it's built in the model. You know, that it will, the more nitrogen in general, the above ground nitrogen concentration will go up, mm-hmm. and that will reflect there.
Are these large changes in the straw, or are they fairly small?
Well, it depends on the rates.
But not a topic that we usually look at.
Well, but yeah, well, it varies. It can be as poor as 0.3%, 0.4% to 0.8%. Point one. In a dry year, I don't know, if the harvest index drops down, the nitrogen concentration will be pretty high. So the CM ratios will drop to 40, 30.
So it can change quite a lot.
Oh, it does, certainly.
Well, thank you.